God. Det är en ny testament som är att stå upp. That a lot of us have been acquainted with for years. Story of a man that was in a desperate situation. It was a story of a man that was in a pressure situation because he has a disease. It's an incurable disease of Bible time called Africa. And I want to deal tonight with this story and bring out some steps that I believe brought about a miracle to this leper by the name of Naaman. And I believe it will be a tremendous treat for you tonight, talking about steps that will bring a miracle in your life. I'm here to tell you tonight, folks, I believe that there's still miracles happening today. I believe that the days of miracles are not over. I'm glad to tell you that God's not changed. A lot of churches have, a lot of people have. But thank God, I still believe this book declares that by His stripes we're healed, and I still believe we need to get back to where we expect the miracle power of God. 2 Kings chapter 5 and verse 1, now Naaman, captain of the host of the king of Syria, was a great man with his master, and honorable because by him the Lord had given deliverance unto Syria. He was also a mighty man in valor, but he had leprosy. You know, it doesn't make any difference how great your position might be, brother. The enemy can come in and in a matter of time turn that situation around. And there's a lot of people running around that have said, and I feel impressed to say this tonight, a lot of people are running around today, and even some attending our churches, that have said, God, if you'll just bless me and touch me and help me, I'll save you, I'll give you my time, my finances, I'll touch your faith. God took his part of the bargain, but they haven't kept those. And I want you to know, brother, God knows how to get your attention. Amen? So I tell you, we've got a lot to be thankful for. I get so aggravated at myself. A lot of times I find and catch myself sitting around wanting more and more and more and not thanking God for what I have. Amen. And I had to ask God to forgive me for a lot of times. If God forgive me, here I am, I keep wanting more and more and more, and you're blessing me in many ways, but I'm not thankful enough and appreciative enough of what you've given me. Praise God, good health and be able to meet my needs, and I appreciate you for that. Verse 14 of that same chapter says, now notice the terminology of this word, and he went down and dipped himself 7 times in Jordan, notice this, according to the saying of the man of God, and his flesh came out into the flesh of a little child, and he was clean. Father, the Lord, tonight we look out of God and believe that it will bring us victory. I believe that your spirit, God, is going to move in this service tonight. And that I believe you're going to meet the needs of some that are here if they need healing, if they need God's deliverance, if they need an answer to prayer, if God, they're in an area of depression and defeat, they need to be lifted up to a new place indeed. I ask for the mighty awakening of the Spirit within our hearts and lives tonight. And I ask you to confess it and believe it, that I trust it in the name of Jesus. Everybody said with me, amen and amen. I want to deal with the subject tonight. I believe there's unlimited power in God. I believe that with God nothing is impossible. I believe that you can take authority in the name of Jesus over any situation on this planet but one. You can take authority over anything on this planet but one thing, and that is a man's will. You cannot take authority over a man's will. Amen? The will of man is very strong. You cannot make a person get saved. You cannot make a person come to faith. You cannot make a person call out to God. Man was created with a will of his own, and that will of man is strong, and you do what you want to do. But on the other hand, people today. I believe if we're going to boast of being a New Testament church, I believe we're going to have to realize that when we're a New Testament church, thank God we'll speak with tongues as the Spirit of God gives us it. I believe we'll lay hands on the sick and they'll recover. I believe that there'll be a manifestation of God's divine power. And brother, that has always been the greatest drawing card that our churches have had. Our churches were not built by running 50 buses. Are you listening to me? Our churches were not built by big, beautiful buildings. Our churches were not built by talents and abilities of man. Our churches were built when people would come and let the power of God flow like a river, and it would fall like the rain. Our churches was built on the moving of God's Spirit, when people would get hungry for God, and they'd come to a place where they knew that the power of God was out. And that is still, I believe, needing to be the priority in a lot of our churches, is to just let the Spirit of God move and flow, and get in the flowing of the Holy Spirit, and let miracles take place. I tell you, it'll pack our churches. Amen. I believe it'll do it. I believe there's unlimited power in God, and all that needs to be done is that source needs to be tapped. Just simply like it is with the principles upon planet Earth as far as in the element. Long before Benjamin Franklin discovered the principles of electricity, it was always there. But it was never able to be put to use until he tapped into the source and discovered the principles of electricity and put it into operation. I believe the same thing through the power of God. I believe there's unlimited power with God. All that has to be done is just tap into the source. Amen. I want you to know a radio or a television or a light bulb just sitting out there in the open somewhere in a field are just frail contraptions. But when you plug them into that source of electricity and you put them into that source, they become objects of power. And the same thing true with us. If we stand in a place in ourselves, we are nothing. But if you plug us into the source, thank God, which is Jesus Christ and His Holy Spirit, we become symbols and objects of divine power to reach out to a lost and dying world for Jesus. All that has to be done is just tapping up. There's always been a lot of coal in America. I was in Colorado the other day, I was in Grand Junction in a crusade. I always, when I'm there, I fly into Denver, and I fly from Denver over to Grand Junction, and it's right immediately on the other side of Rocky Mountains. I fly over the other day and I look down, you could just see the veins of coal in the mountainside. I mean, the mountains are so full of coal, it's just bulging over, you can see the veins running down through the mountains. But until man had learned to tap that source of coal, it would do man no good. I believe right now we're at the brink of the greatest outbreak of revival that America has ever seen. I believe this church is on the brink of a great outbreak of revival. Now listen to me. I'm not just sitting up here and spewing out things to try to sound pleasant and good to you to get a slap on the back, but I'm telling you, I believe as I've been in prayer, as I've been talking with God, I believe that this church is on the brink of one of the greatest Holy Ghost explosions that this countryside will ever see. I believe in just a few short weeks when you move in this new building behind us tonight, I believe if you'll move in it with an expectation of the heavens to come down and glory to fill your soul, I believe that you'll see things you've never seen. I believe pastors can walk, and the blind can see, and the dumb can talk, and the deaf can hear. I believe that you'll tap on to God's divine source. I believe the heavens will open up, and God will move in a mighty way. I believe that it's going to take tapping into that source. It's going to take expecting that source. I want you to know the days of miracles are happening today more than ever. Some people say, well, I remember back in the 30s and the 40s, I say there's more people getting healed today than there's ever been. There's more people today getting a baptism than there's ever been. This is the greatest day we have ever lived. And I believe there's unlimited power with God. I see a story in the Word of God of a man by the name of Naaman. He was a general. He was a hero. He was a famous man. I mean, he was looked up to. He was very popular with the people because God had given deliverance through his efforts to the people of God. Over the internet, he was a hero, but the doctors discovered that he had contracted and had leprosy. Leprosy was a dreaded disease, much like cancer is right now. It's running rampant in America, around the world. Leprosy I want you to know I believe tonight that disease is a foul and inhuman thing. I do not believe and never will believe that it is numbered among the blessings of God. I believe as I read this word that Jesus Christ came against the power of Satan to heal. Can you say amen tonight? Mark chapter 6 and verse 56 said, and whithersoever he entered into the villages or the cities or the country, they laid the sick in the streets, and besought him that he might touch, if it were but the border of his garment. And as many as touched him were made whole. Can you say praise the Lord tonight? I'm telling you tonight, if we'll touch Jesus Christ, there'll be something happen. If we'll touch Jesus Christ, there'll be something take place within our church, within our homes, and within our lives. That brings about one of the biggest steps in receiving a miracle for God. From God is to recognize that sickness and disease and oppression and depression is of the devil. It's not of God, it's of the devil. I believe that. It says in Acts chapter 10, verse 38. The word says how God anointed Jesus of Nazareth with the Holy Ghost and with power. He went about doing good and healing all that were oppressed of the devil. Isn't that wonderful? A lot of people think when Jesus performed the miracles he did on planet Earth, he did them as the Son of God, but he didn't. He did them as a man full of the Holy Ghost. Just like you and I, a man full of the Holy Ghost. Peter tells us of Christ's ministry. He talked about in the Word how that he loved mankind. Paul talks about it. The Word brings it out how that he was always willing to minister to the needs of people. All the four Gospels of Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John talk about it. Matthew 14:14 said, all manner of sickness and all manner of disease and demons, and he healed those sick. Glory to God. I believe compassion flowed through him. He didn't turn anybody away. He didn't take those cases. He wasn't moody. He got along with God. He rested. But what I'm telling you is when the need was there, he was full of the power of the Holy Ghost, and he recognized that sickness and disease and the hopes of mankind were of the devil, and he came to destroy the works of the devil. He said that these cometh not but to kill and destroy. But Jesus said, I come that you might have life, and more abundantly. See, there's roughly a million people within a few miles of here that got life, but not more abundantly. Because those people sitting in church, they haven't got a case. They're sitting around breathing, but they're dead. Can't move them, they're dead, they're dry, they're cold. They get excited about everything but Jesus. You ask them how they are, and they'll tell you. Jesus said, I want to give you life more abundantly. Glory to God, that means something extra, something special. Praise God. You don't have to walk into the feet of the world and the depression of the world, but you can walk, thank God, in a new plateau and a new place. I believe that. Glory to God. And then, of course, if you knew what I was going through, you couldn't face like that. Honey, you're already dead. So we always have to look, you know, on the other side. We're going through something, you know what? You know, it'd be if I was in your shoes, I could shout too, honey. The devil always wants you looking at something else instead of recognizing the problem you got dealing with it. He always wants you looking over the fence, you know? Amen? He always wants you, looking on the other side somewhere. He always wants you, instead of recognizing your need, because you see, you will never do nothing about your problem until you recognize that you have the problem. You got to recognize, if you need an answer, say, God, I need an answer. Don't go through weeks and months of just beating around the bush. Say, God, I need an answer from you about this thing. If you go on, say, let them get down to being with us and recognize the devil's trying to scare him and take him to hell and say, I'm not going to let that. I'm going to stand here and plead the blood of Jesus and make intercession with prayer for him, and I'm going to stand with God, and they're going to get saved. look with my eyes, I face it as I protect you. To defeat you. That's one of the first things that Naaman had to recognize, is that, hey, God is trying to kill me. Recognize that the devil wants to defeat you. And when you recognize that, then start looking for a remedy to cure him of. Start recognizing, hey, now, wait a minute, I don't have to put up with this junk in here. I don't have to put up with this split stick. Hey, God, I don't have to put up with that racket. I recognize that I am somebody. I have kingdom life. I'm somebody in Jesus. Not in myself, but in Jesus. Praise God. Hallelujah. Don't always try to be running off somewhere else trying to have your needs met. Stand right before them, right where you're at. Praise. We got people, that's why a lot of people always jump around from church to church. We need to recognize, praise God, get in right there and sell out and pray through and believe God and set forth faith and have your needs met there. Some of those people are still always running around. 10 years now, they're still hopping and rocking around, but they're hopping from church to church. And I won't stay here for him. Now, if I was going to places bad, dry, and cold, I'd hop. Get someplace where it was hot, praise God, in the Holy Ghost. Amen? I had a bunch of people come to my church one time. They're starting to, I had a lot of people come to this other church, this other preacher, he got mad. And, you know, I always felt like it. People didn't want to go to my church, I didn't need them anyway. Let them go somewhere so they can get in, get fed, you know? But, I was having, you know, we're having a move of God, and there's people called like that, and people started to come, and things were growing, and I could tell this one guy, you know, he was really getting mad because, you know, and he really started making an issue out of it. I mean, he really became ugly about it. I mean, I wasn't going out after him, and I just decided in church. And finally, just kept bugging me. But finally, I just said, well, I'll tell you what's wrong with you. I'm going to tell exactly what's happened. You're old, skinny, sick, dead, almost dead feet got through a hole in your fence. And they got over here and they've got so fat they can't get back through the hole. Well, stay with me tonight. Praise God. But the devil always wants you to look somewhere else instead of recognizing, hey, recognize that you have the power to change the situation and do everything you can to do it. I've dealt with people before, and they said, well, put your church, you just don't know about those nothing happening, and it's in the situation here, but let it be a warning. But those case lots of people come up and say, you know, man, I don't know why, we just don't have nothing. And every time a banger comes here, they want to corner him and talk to him, you know, sometimes. Hey, baby, they say, prison. No. Why is our church so dead? I said, because you're in it. Amen. Stay with me. Now, you see, there's a lot of people sitting around like that wondering why this, why that, but they won't recognize that maybe they are the problem. They won't recognize that, you know, that to come to grips that, well, am I coming early and praying before church? Do I say praise the Lord once in a while and the preacher preaches? Am I getting my shoulder behind the plow? Recognize that maybe you are the fault. Amen. And you see, we're never going to come to grips with some real situations and problems and solve them until we recognize that the enemy's out to destroy us. Then here's another situation. A little girl, Naaman's sick, he's just about dead, and the little girl he's captured tells him something. And she gives him a message that if he'll go to her hometown there in Samaria, there's a man of God that has a touch in his life and is in contact with a source that can bring him healing. Now, what do you get out of that, Brother Percy? Simply this. You got to believe the message. Naaman could have heard a lot of messages, but until he believed that message, it would have never brought a healing to his body. Amen? Now, I want you to notice something here that I want to bring in tonight. The message is more important than the messenger. If we're not careful, we get caught up with the messenger instead of the message. I know some people that run all over the country running after the messenger instead of the message. You know, Brother So-and-so is going to be over at that church again. I don't care what he's thinking, but he's so pretty. Yeah, in 3 more weeks he's going to be there. Hallelujah. I don't care what he's thinking. I just want to see what he's wearing. Last time I had a pink suit on. Stay with me. If we're not careful, you see, though, that happens. And that's why a lot of people have not received their miracle, is because they're more in love with the messenger than they are the message. Now, understand the fine line here. There's nothing wrong with appreciating a messenger, a man of God, whatever, loving him and getting behind him and appreciating his ministry. But when that messenger, you think, will bring you the victory more than the message, you'll be tripped up and never get your healing, your deliverance, your victory, and nothing. Amen? If we're not careful, instead of believing the message, we'll believe the denomination. If we're not careful, we get more denominationalized than we do wordized. There's a lot of people, I don't care what the word says, just what comes out screen for you. Now, I'm not just saying this. I'm not against this fellowship. I think it's the greatest thing in the world. I wouldn't be in it if I didn't. I'd get out of it. But number one, I'm going to believe that word over anything. Over any denomination, over any fellowship, over anybody, I'm going to get that word and stand on myself and believe it. Amen. We're not perfect, you know, and there's a lot of people that way. But, you know, the other day, friend of mine was talking with some people and had this fellowship. They said, well, now, we don't like all this positive preaching you're doing. You're going around preaching that God wants to heal. You know, you're just preaching too positive. My God, see, how can you be too positive? And he said, well, he gave him about 10 scriptures of why he believes what he did. And he said, well, what? Can you give me some scriptures why you believe what you do? And they said, well, we don't have scripture. We just showed by the position paper that came out of the sample. I'm going to tell you something, folks. I think there's something wrong. We start basing things on what men have put together instead of what that word is put together. Now, there's all kinds of fine lines and all that in different situations, but I'm trying to get down to a real truth here tonight. That we get in love with the Word of God and that it becomes number one in our lives. Amen? And that's for every denomination, not just for ours. Amen? I know some people, you ask them if they're saved, they'll say, well, I'm Baptist. You know, Baptists are great people. You know, there's more Baptists than there are people. Those guys are bad. I mean, they're doing great work. But if you're getting too bad, then I say, well, are you saved? Well, I can send the dog. Well, that's great, but, I mean, you understand what I'm saying? Base your faith in the Word of God. If we're not careful, we'll become bigoted and egotistical and become so engulfed in our own little bunch that, you know, unless you're part of our group. it may be hard for you to get in. And this, I'm going to tell you what, this is going to shock some people's toenails off. This will cause some plates to fall. But to Jesus Christ, there is no sin of God. To Jesus Christ, there's no Methodist, there's no Baptist, there's no Presbyterian. Some people actually are so narrow-minded that they think when they get to heaven, that over in the northwest section of the south end will be the assembly. If you want to tell somebody really different, they say, well, I don't know whether I want to go or not. But you know what we all are, really? Just called the body of Christ. And we better love everybody. Because some people that you think may not make it, they're going to be way up ahead of the line if you get rewarded. I know some people that are sitting around saying, well, you know, when I get to heaven, they don't ever come to prayer meetings, they don't ever come to church, I don't do much for King, but they always sitting around saying, when I get to heaven, I'm going to sit down to Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob and talk to the Lord. Honey, if you don't straighten up and sell out and be right, it'll be 50 years. They'll be on the 50th floor, and you'll be 50 years from here to get up there. I want you to know we've got to love everybody because we're part of the body of Christ. And I think it's very important that we believe that message. Little girl said, hey, in my hometown, there's a prophet and a man of God, and he can bring healing to you, and that brings about another step that's very important. He wouldn't have got any healing where he's saved. He had to get where the power was. It's important that you get to the power. Oh, God. Not just in a location or a certain place, but praise God in your life, that you get to a place where you get to the power of God is needed. That's why I appreciate a church like this. A church that believes in miracles and believes in the power of God. Get to the power. Pastor, I believe that God wants to be in our church. I don't believe you have to fly up to Chicago to get here. You don't have to go to Los Angeles to get a touch. There's right, you can get it right here. I think when you recognize and get back to that place, this is nothing new. This faith and message of faith and power, this has been around for years, 2000. It's a very painful. And I think it's important if we haven't already that we recognize God wants to perform the mighty things here. Get where the power is. Get to the power. Get to that place. Get to the right 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 place. Say amen. Hallelujah. I want you to know those disciples were where they are to them and the Holy Ghost came. Glory to God. I want you to know we get Elijah was at the right place for the ravens to feed. God said, I want you to go and dwell by the big tail that before Jordan dwelled there at that specific spot. God may tell you to get to some specific places in your life. If you'll get there, you'll get to the power. You got to believe the message and go where the power is. Then, notice something else here. Naaman went, but he got fat, but he got sidetracked. And he went to the king before he went to the prophet. A lot of times, it's a lot easier to try to have need met. And if you understand me, and I feel my spiritual soul, it's a lot easier to try to stay friends with the world and have the power too. Sometimes it's a lot easier to try, for a lot of people, they're trying to keep the popularity of man and trying to have a miracle and walk with God too, and it will never miss. I'm talking about the world. Are you listening to me? Say amen. I want to stop here and say something too. And this really is not in that much in line with my message, but I just feel impressed to say it to me. an anointed man of God. Now you may agree with this, or you may not. This is in many ways my own opinion, but also I can see it all throughout the Word. An anointed man, an anointed prophet of God, believing in the Holy Ghost, will never be accepted by society. You stay with me now. Listen, I'm saying this. And I talk about how that he went to the king first, trying to get sidetracked, trying to go to the to a place that's a little more comfortable and go down with a Holy Ghost guy. I'm telling you, maybe in the circles of Christianity, I know who a man of God is looked up to the scene, but I'm talking about in society. I want to tell you tonight, this world still hates Christians. And when we try to make friends with the world, to win the world, there's something wrong with it. David looked real stupid trying to dress up in the armor of Saul, trying to speak to God. And the church looks real stupid trying to dress up in the world, trying to win the world. I think this is the truth we need to realize tonight. This is not some popularity contest. I'm not out here trying to find out and trying to see how popular I can become and how much recognition and slaps in the back I can get. I'm just trying to be out here in the flow of the Holy Ghost doing what God wants me to do. And I think all of us need to be that way, whether you're calling or whatever. Amen? I think that's something we need to understand. He got sidetracked. And he got down there and faced the bin. He walked up to the only place. Kind of feeling there. It's still quite a bit of pride because he's a big hero. And I think a lot of people are cursed in the blessings of God because they forgot where their spirits are. Some people come to church and they feel like they're the Lord's gift to that divine church. There's people out there now. They just walk in and say, I'm here. And he goes in the prophet's presence and the prophet says, all right, you do need healing because you're going to die. You're going to get it. Here's what I want you to do. I want you to go down to the Jordan River and get 7 times and you'll be hurt. Man, the Jordan, I'm not going down to the river. But thank God. Thank you for putting me under your safety. Mm-hmm. I said, Lord, this is good. Stay with me. It's just 7:30. There you go. And I had to take it. But now, every time you go to God, you say, God, can you give me a direction? You say, God. And not that. God, you need an answer. You're fast. That's not God. That's me. But he said, go get 7 things in the Jordan River. You know what it did? Made him mad. He started stomping out all of you. I'm going on an extension with him. And thank God he had some men around him that loved him enough. And God's attention said, now, wait a minute. Hey, you're not going to get healed even walking out of here. You got everything to gain and nothing to lose. You better do what that prophet says. That brings about another step to receiving a miracle many times, and that is to learn to accept the correction of God. If you believe in God for something and you're not going to learn in His Word, and it's not working in it, it could be you wrong. Me? That could be me? Oh, I haven't missed any school in 13 years. I have several gold stars in fellowship. I could be wrong. I'll give $100 to this church to ask you. That's not why you're not doing it. No, they won't. Well, I have put up some gifts upon this editor.
God, for your word tonight. We're so thankful for your love. We're thankful for your blessing. God, we want you to know before we do anything tonight that we're thankful people, that we are appreciative of your mighty presence and goodness to us, and your love and everything you're doing for us. God, we thank you. But God, tonight, we look to you because we know you're a big God. You're the author and finisher of us. We look to you tonight for an answer for some people in this service that need help and need an answer. And we ask in the name of Jesus that the answer will come tonight by divine faith. God, some may not see the manifestation of it tonight, but by faith, it's going to come and be manifested here in the days ahead. In Jesus' name, every head bowed, every eye closed, oh, the Spirit of God is moving in a great way tonight. I believe that there's been a wonderful spirit here all evening, and I appreciate God tonight. I want to know who is here tonight. I say, Brother Pussy, I have some things in my life and I need victory over, and I want to come to faith. And I want to come before God and receive victory over some things in my life that I know I need the victory over. And I want you to pray for me. Lift your hand real quickly and just take it down. Anyone tonight? Hallelujah. Amen. Yes. Praise the Lord. Brother Percy, I need a touch in my body. I'm not well tonight, and I need healing, and I want you to pray for me tonight. Lift your hand. Praise God. God bless you. Who else tonight? I need healing. Glory to God. Amen. I need a touch in my body. Thank you, Jesus. Would you stand with me, please, tonight? Hallelujah. 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 Oh, hallelujah. Oh, I love him tonight. Oh, hallelujah. While we sing this song, I want everybody to gather around this front with me and stand with me in unity tonight as we agree for some of these needs. Would you? Come on. Holy, holy.